Just join me in prayer. Father God, as you've gathered us here this morning, I ask that you help each of us to have a spirit of anticipation, a desire, an openness, even an expectation that you've gathered us to meet us here, to speak to us here, to shape us with your very presence, a desire to minister to us, Lord, to remind us of your love and to empower us to carry those things to the world around us. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you well up from within us, that you descend upon us, that you raise our awareness of all of the ways that you are at work here this morning. And may we be a people open to receive you, even in new and exciting ways. We ask in Christ's strong name, amen. Our scripture readings this morning come from Isaiah chapter 43. I'll be reading verses 1 through 12, and then Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Bring forth the people who are blind yet have eyes, who are deaf yet have ears. Let all the nations gather together, and let the peoples assemble. Who among them declared this and foretold to us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses to justify them, and let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed, when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, says the Lord. And now turning to Acts chapter 1, reading verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I do just want to begin this week quickly drawing from last week. And if you recall, we talked a little bit last week about how we are all called to be priests. That's the biblical model of our calling, and it's the biblical model of the church, that we are gathered to be a community of people that are sent out into the world as priests to mediate God's presence to all people in all places. And so I asked you to reflect on a few questions at the end of that sermon, like, how is this calling to me meant to impact my daily life? And I encourage you to think of one practical thing, one doable thing that you could even step into in this past week to make a step towards living into that calling to be a priest, mediating God's presence to the world. And I even encourage you to share with one another before you left what that one commitment was. And I'm not going to ask all of you this morning to respond and tell me how that went this week. But I would encourage you to continue to ask that question. But I would also say that this isn't something that we all do easily and necessarily natural. That this is actually a supernatural calling in which we are designed to be empowered by the Spirit in order to step into this calling. So we'll be saying more about that this morning. I want to begin with just a few reflections from the passages I read. First, Isaiah 43. I really came into familiarity with this passage close to 20 years ago. I was on a retreat at that time. I was early in my days doing youth ministry, and I can't remember if I was on the retreat or leading the retreat. That part's irrelevant, but we started the morning by each of us taking Isaiah 43 and kind of wandering off and spending some time with the Lord, and we rewrote this passage, the verses I just wrote to you, and we inserted our names and our communities in each of those places to personalize this. And it's a great exercise. I would encourage each of you to do that at some point in time, even this week. But that moment of contemplation, that period of time and reflecting on these verses and personalizing them was significant for me. It brought a lot of meaning to this passage, but it was also very formative for me in my life. And in two ways. First, in experiencing more fully the promises of God's presence to be with us in the midst of trials and suffering, which is important. But I also remember in doing that, that this call to be in ministry and this call to take God's good news to the world was also reaffirmed to me that morning in these passages. Because as you read them, it talks about being those witnesses. It talks about God's desire for all peoples from the north, south, east, and west to be gathered into the kingdom. And that our role in that is to go and be witnesses for the Lord in all of those places that we go. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, says the Lord. And as we looked at a passage from Exodus last week that shared that same message to us, to God's people, now we look at one in Isaiah, and what I have told you and continue to tell you, that throughout even the Old Testament, there is this idea that God is gathering people so that we can be formed and sent out to spread God's good news to the world. That this is the biblical model from the beginning. In fact, we were created as image bearers of God so that we can then go out into the world and reflect God's image to all people in all places. That's why we were created. For those of us at times struggling to find a purpose in life, it's right here. Now, how we do that and what we do to carry God's image to the world is we have freedom in that. but a consistent calling to all of us as believers and followers of Jesus Christ is that we are sent. And we see this again in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Jesus, after the resurrection, is gathering the disciples, and notice what he does. He commands them to wait. And they're asking him, is now the time when you're going to restore the kingdom? And said, no, that's not for you to know. But guess what? In the meantime, while you wait, you have a purpose. And it's the same purpose that my people have always had. You see, you too will be witnesses. You will go, spread the good news in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. In other words, you're going to start right here where you're at. And you're going to live a lifestyle as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And you're going to be witnesses and give testimony to who I am and how I redeem and the salvation that is at hand in the world and the kingdom that is being restored. You will be my witnesses here, wherever you are, and then that word will spread. And you're being invited to be a part of this mission. But notice why he tells them to wait. It says, wait upon the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's the Spirit that will empower the mission. It's the Holy Spirit that will empower the mission. You see, there's a connection between the coming of the Holy Spirit and the power that the people will have to be God's witnesses to all the ends of the earth. Now, I was curious then how this shows up in the book of Acts. And I've studied the book of Acts enough to know that it does. But I wanted to give a little bit more clear picture. So I read through the books of Acts this week, and I pulled out any place where the Holy Spirit is engaged in this mission. So not every reference to the Holy Spirit, but references just in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit is specifically engaging in this mission. And I'm just going to read these to you. Now, these are taken out of context. I pulled them out of the verses. But I just invite you to listen and see if you hear some common themes here. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Select among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the Spirit with which he spoke. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go over to this chariot and join it. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Living in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it, being the church, increased in numbers. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, look, 3 men are searching for you. Now get up, go down, and go with them without hesitation, for I have sent them. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So, being sent by the Holy Spirit, they went. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come opposite Mysia and they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and altogether there were about 12 of them. Paul resolved in the Spirit to go through Macedonia and Achaia, and then to go to Jerusalem. And now, as a captive to the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and persecutions are waiting for me. Keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own Son. Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is the way the Jews in Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. What do you notice? Another way of asking that question is, so whose mission is it? As you hear those words, who's the active player in the book of Acts? As God has formed the church, has sent the Spirit, and now said, go, who is the active player? It's the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who's out on this mission, who's opening hearts, who's speaking to the disciples, who's telling them when and where to go, who's opening their eyes to the ministry that's unfolding around them. And then what is the disciples' role? What is the calling of the followers? It's to discern how the Spirit's at work and to respond faithfully by participating in that work. And so, for example, the Holy Spirit says to Peter, go, and, oh, by the way, there's three guys here to see you. I've sent them. And so Peter goes. And there's even times in that story, I love that story, where Peter's in the middle of ministering and the Holy Spirit's kind of like, all right, you've said enough, boom, I'm just going to do my work. And falls upon these people and they receive the Spirit, and Peter's like, okay, I guess they don't need the conclusion of the sermon. We're just going to be involved with what the Spirit's doing here. And so there's a few points I want to make, and most of these come out of a book I've been reading, The Outpouring of the Spirit or something like that. I referenced it last week. And the first of those is that the ascended Christ pours out the Holy Spirit to continue his mission. The ascended Christ pours out the Holy Spirit to continue his mission. So let's remind ourselves the mission of Christ himself. And we could talk a lot about that, but I just want to read Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, where he takes upon himself Isaiah 61 and says, this is why I'm here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Okay? Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Holy Spirit has fallen on me. Because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You see, the mission of Jesus Christ and why he came was to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God and to spread this good news to all creation that salvation has come in him and that God is in the business of redeeming and restoring all things and all people. This is the mission of Christ. Now, Jesus' life and witness went through the death on the cross. That was a means by which all of this would take place. And certainly the resurrection and ascension, they all play an important role here. But I'm one that believes that Jesus' primary mission on earth was not to go die on the cross. I believe that Jesus' primary mission on earth was that he was sent to declare the good news of the kingdom of God, and that all people could come into this kingdom and be citizens and receive the blessings of God's kingdom. Again, the means by which that happens is what Christ's life and ministry is about, and the death and resurrection and ascension. But all of that was to play a part in a bigger and in some ways more profound story. That God is restoring all things. That God's reign is returning to the earth. And that God's kingdom will one day be fully present. And it was ushered in through the mission of Jesus Christ. And then Christ at the ascension hands that mission over to the Holy Spirit and sends the Spirit to the earth to continue the mission of Jesus Christ. Now, how is that going to happen? Well, we see already in Acts that the Spirit's at work, the Spirit's doing things, the Spirit's preparing the way, but how's the Spirit going to work and fulfill that mission? By entering into the heart and life of each individual believer. By empowering the church. And so the second point is that the Holy Spirit both guides and empowers the Christian mission. The Holy Spirit guides us, goes before us, prepares the way, quickens us, leads us, calls us. And so have you ever had that experience where all of a sudden you get this quickening in your heart and you have this sense from the Holy Spirit that maybe you're to go and just be God's presence to a person? Or that maybe you're to go and ask this person if they need prayer? This is the way that God designed the church and our calling, that the Spirit would guide us in those things, individually and collectively. And not only guide us, but empower us. You see, what became true of some characters in the Old Testament that we read about, that the Spirit comes upon them and empowers them to fulfill a particular task, actually becomes true of all believers in Jesus Christ under the new covenant. That all of us will receive an infilling of the Holy Spirit that can empower us to play a role in God's mission. And so this empowering Spirit that comes upon us, that works in and through us to give us the power to carry out that mission. And there's both a charismatic Spirit. Okay, and charismatic speaks to gifting. Okay, it doesn't just speak to a gifting of speaking in tongues. It may be that, but it speaks to all of the ways that the Spirit gifts us. Grants each individual believer gifts. And some of those gifts are general gifts that we carry throughout our lives. And I believe there's times and places where the Holy Spirit gives us a specific gift to be used in that particular time and place because there's a particular mission that the Holy Spirit has for us at that moment. But regardless, the Spirit is active to fill us and empower us and gift us in ways that allows us to fulfill this calling and the purposes that God has for us in our lives. And then the last point I'll make is that the Holy Spirit enables the church to follow the sacrificial path of Jesus Christ. This is what we sometimes call sanctification or the spiritual formation. How the Holy Spirit works within us to continue to transform us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ in which we were created. A phrase that we sometimes use around here is that we're called to walk the way of Jesus the way Jesus walked the way. That's what it means to come into a maturity in our faith, that more and more in our lives we're walking the way Jesus walked. Not just doing the things Jesus did, but doing them the way Jesus did them. And so as I said, I believe last week that the way that this mission will carry out into the world is through love. It's not through power. It's through peace. It's not through war. It's by living in an obedience to Jesus Christ, who said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to what? Obey my commands. When a group of people, the church, are empowered by the Holy Spirit, that there's an aspect of the Spirit's ministry that allows us to begin to lay aside more and more of our own desires and passions, more and more of our own brokenness and sinfulness, more and more of our selfish desires, so that we can come into a more full obedience of living a life under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, living lives of humility, love, being servant leaders as Christ was a servant leader, bearing the fruits of the Spirit, these things that are within us because the Holy Spirit dwells within us, living out the Beatitudes, being people that cling to faith, hope, and love, but always remember that the greatest of these things is love. Because as we live this way, the world notices. As I said last week, the Lord's desire has always been to call a group of people that will then go out and kind of be the witnesses, be examples of the way that God is calling us to live life, to be light in the darkness. But we're not going to be light in the darkness if our lives look like darkness. If we look no different than those around us, if we can't be mistaken by the world as Christians. Now understand that as we live this way and as the world notices, the world may not always like what they see in us. However, some will be drawn. Some will notice this lifestyle. Some will notice this light. That's why Peter says, be prepared to give a response, because when people notice a joy and a hope in you, they're going to ask you the source. And so be ready to give testimony, to give credit to the one who's placed that hope and joy within you. Friends, this is our calling. This is why we're gathered. There's an incredible element of fellowship of the one another's of Scripture. There's incredible blessings that we have from the Lord and that we can give to one another as the church. But in the midst of that, may we not lose the primary calling of Scripture, that we are sent outward, that we are called to go, that we're to take all of these blessings and carry them into the world and give witness to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the good news that the kingdom of God through him is at hand. Now, as Scripture says, we need an empowering of the Holy Spirit to live this way. I think it was... It doesn't matter. Sometime in the last week or so, I built a little fire in the backyard and was just sitting out there reading. And, we've had a lot of trees fall around our house, and some by the wind and some by a chainsaw. So there's lots of things to burn. And some of the logs that I put on the fire are seasoned, and then I always mix in some that aren't. And what I mean by that is just they're more green. They haven't dried out yet. And so I'm sitting there, and I'd put on a limb that was quite green, as I sat by the fire, I heard the hissing that you hear, and I looked down, and this was maybe 3 inches in diameter, and the moisture is just bubbling out of that limb and evaporating, and it did that the entire time I sat out there. Now, I don't know how this illustration will work for you, but as I sat there and as I reflected on that, this is what I sensed the Lord saying to me, is that you need in your life both the heat of the Holy Spirit and the water of Jesus Christ. because that log will eventually dry out and burn up because it doesn't have an endless supply of water. And so in my life, what I sensed was if you get so engaged in drawing from the fire of the Holy Spirit, but get disconnected from the source of life in Jesus Christ, eventually you're going to dry out even when you're doing the Lord's work. But the same notion is if you only are drawn into the ministry and the life of Jesus Christ without being put to the flame and the test and the power of the Spirit, then you won't provide light and heat and comfort. You see, somehow there's this balance within the Trinity that the triune God is at work on this mission, and each person of the Trinity is wanting to be active in our lives. That Christ wants to come and draw us in and provide salvation and give us nurture and give us the strength through the meals, through the word, nourish us for the mission, and then the Holy Spirit wants to come and empower us and inflame us and put us on fire and provide the heat. And that when we're open to this triune God's work in our lives, then we become most effective in living out this calling. Now I'm going to invite Laura to come up, and she's going to play and kind of sing over us. And I simply want us to enter into a time of prayer, but what I believe in my whole heart is an opportunity for a time of ministry. You see, my sense is this morning that the Spirit wants to fall upon some of us here in a new and fresh way for the specific purpose of empowering us into this mission and calling. And so the first question I want you to reflect upon is simply this. Is there a desire in my heart to be all that God's called me to be? To not just receive God's blessings for my own benefit, but to receive God's blessings in such a way that I then can carry those to the world around me, to bless the people in my lives, to be a presence of God in the world around me. And if there's any aspect of your heart that wants to answer that question with a yes, then I encourage you to simply ask this question: Holy Spirit, will you come and empower me for that mission? Will you come and fill me? Will you be the power that Scripture has promised you will be to help me live into this call? And then I just encourage you to sit with a spirit of openness and make your heart available for the Holy Spirit to come and work in these next few moments. Let's enter into a time of prayer.
There must be more than this. Oh, breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Fill us anew, we pray. Fill us anew, we pray. Consuming fire, fan into flame. Passion for your name, Spirit. Abandoned to your praise. let your glory fall. And Lord, let your glory fall. Consuming fire, come fan into flame. A passion for your name. Speak.
Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, after giving thanks to God the Father, took the bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." In the same manner, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this cup, you drink it in remembrance of me. For whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup proclaims the saving death of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Friends, this is an experiential way for Jesus to remind us his desire to nourish us and strengthen us and fill us with the Spirit of God to empower us for mission. And to love us, to heal us, to forgive us. It's wrapped in meaning. And we are going to invite you to receive communion by intention, which simply means that you'll come forward in the center aisle, take a piece of bread, dip it into the cup, partake of it on your way back to your seats. Now, for anyone who's unable or would prefer to be receive communion in your seats, our ushers will bring communion to you. For the rest of us, I'm going to invite you into a movement where instead of it necessarily being row by row and methodical, that you just continue to sit and allow the Spirit to minister to you. And when you feel ready to come and receive this gift, just come. I'm going to add a second invitation to you. For any of you that feel that the Spirit's kind of working in you and you would just like to have a simple prayer of blessing, and to seal that, I'm going to make myself available with some anointing oil, and I'll just pray a simple prayer of blessing over you and anoint you and ask the Spirit to seal that work in your life. You don't need to be a member of our congregation to partake of these elements, to receive these good gifts. We do ask that if and when you come with a desire to have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ meet your every need and nourish and strengthen you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. I invite our servers to please come forward.
Awaken my soul. To see. first love, come wake and do as you did at first. Speak. On me, come awaken me from my sleep. Blow through the caverns of my soul, pour in me to overflow. Spirit of the living God, come fall afresh on me. Come awaken me from my sleep. And blow through the caverns of my soul, pour in me to overflow. To overflow. Spirit, come. Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. Let the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us.
Pray that the Spirit has touched not just some of you, but each of you in a particular way today. And if I'm honest, I'll tell you that part of my prayer this morning was, Lord, it's my birthday. Please show up. And perhaps he's answered that feeble request. I want to invite you to continue to sit in prayer. If you so choose, I am going to close this in prayer and give a blessing. But if you desire to remain, I invite you to do that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the love you have for us. Thank you for the ways that you've encouraged us to experience that love in presence of one another, in your presence, through the elements of the supper you provide us, through the anointing of the Spirit that you send to us. We do ask that you empower each of us, as you've promised to do, for the ways that you're calling us to live into your life. And Lord, I do pray that that isn't a burden or it doesn't feel like work, but that you'll empower us in such a way that these things just flow naturally out of who we are in you. And so send us to be a blessing to the world around us. May we help others experience your loving presence. May we be encouraged to share with them the good news that your kingdom is here in Jesus Christ, that there is another way. There's an alternative to this world, Lord, and it can be found in you. Amen.